Hello, and welcome to the Community IT Innovators Technology Topics Podcast, where we discuss nonprofit technology, cybersecurity, tech project implementation, strategic planning, and nonprofit IT careers. Find us at communityit.com.
Thank you for joining this Community IT Podcast Part 2. You can find Part 1 in your podcast feed if you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for joining us today to learn more about planning for an office move. Today's webinar is part of our continuing series on IT management. My name is Johan Hammerstrom. I'm the President and CEO of Community IT and the moderator for this webinar series. And now it's my pleasure to turn the webinar over to two of our certified team of IT professionals and today's presenters, Rick Alloway and William Maxwell. Good afternoon, and please introduce yourselves.
Hi, this is Rick Alloway.
I'm William Maxwell.
And between the two of us, we've done about 50 moves with Community IT over the past 10 years. So we've got a lot of experience in this field and are happy to share some tips and answer any questions.
So let's get to some questions. And the first few sets of questions have to do with drops, the network drops on the walls. So how do you verify? So the ideal situation is you come into a new office and you're doing a complete demo, complete build out, build it out to spec, and you can decide where the drops are and you have brand new cabling and drops. That's ideal, but that doesn't often happen, or it doesn't always happen at least. Sometimes you come into an office and you've got existing cabling. How do you verify that the drops work and that they're labeled correctly?
So they should be labeled with a clear pattern. You should be able to walk around your office and find jack number one, jack number two, jack number three, or jack number 304, 305, 306, whatever their scheme is.
Yeah, many cabling companies have a pattern. Sometimes it's clockwise, sometimes it's by room, where they'll label it and you can find the jacks that you're looking for. But if they're not working or they don't seem to connect to where they look like they should, that's the time to bring in the wiring vendors to come and test it. Most wiring vendors will come out and just test jacks for you for a nice price.
Yeah. And if you know what you're doing and are a little more comfortable back in the server room, you can look at the patch panel and those numbers on the wall jacks correspond to numbers on the patch panel. So you should be able to find 304, 305, and 306 labeled right on the patch panel as well. And those should correspond to jacks out in the office. And if you can't find them, then that means either labels have fallen off or labels, because they might have just been a sticker, they might have been mislabeled, things might have gotten changed. If that office has been rented by a number of different people who have done different renovations, sometimes you get multiple generations of jacks. You'll see different colors.
Yeah.
Only the gray ones will work and not the blue ones.
If
you get into that, it's definitely worth having somebody come in and just tone them all out and find out what works and relabel everything for you.
But if it's bad enough, it's sometimes just worth it to wipe everything out and start fresh with new jacks and have them pull out the old jacks.
Yeah, that was the next question. At what point do you just say this isn't worth trying to salvage? We'd be better off investing in, you know, new drops, new cabling.
I've never seen anybody do a whole new, rent out an already built office and do a whole new jack setup. I think it's probably prohibitively expensive to get in all the walls and do it. And there's usually an existing framework to work off of.
No, I've actually ran across that once or twice. And it's when you get three or four jacks labeled one in one office, it's sometimes a pain, but necessary to just do it fresh from the beginning. Because the walls are sealed, it's harder for the cable companies to go in and run stuff, but they'll do it.
Yep.
And I guess the big driving factor is what your budget is. If you can afford to have them come and redo all the jacks as part of your project, great. But it's also good to check with the building. Sometimes they'll cover all that because the working jacks were part of your lease.
Right. Yeah, if you find out that early enough, you could definitely work it into your contract.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say I've rarely seen that. Mostly you have somebody come in, test all the jacks, find out which one works, and they could just pick a whole new labeling scheme for you and just relabel everything with the ones that work.
And fix the ones that are broken.
Right.
Yeah, I think the worst situation I saw was one where it was an older office and there were at least three generations of cabling. You know, there had been at least three different cabling runs made. And so there were multiple jacks at every desk, and it wasn't all, you know, so we brought in a cabling company to tone the jacks and identify the ones that were the most current. And even after doing all that, there were a couple that, you know, even though they toned properly, when you actually sat down and plugged in a computer, the networking was not reliable. And we ended up having to rerun a couple drops just, you know, to get them to work. So it's a, let's see, related to that, what about, you had mentioned, you know, network drops for printers and in the server room. What about for Wi-Fi? What's the best way to identify network drops for Wi-Fi? Should they go in the ceiling? Is it important to include power with the network drop?
That is an excellent question. So it really depends on the shape of your office and how big it is. Sometimes you have an office that kind of spiders out down different hallways, in which case you're going to need multiple access points. And I like to put them in the ceiling.
Yeah,
I think they're easy, but you need to put a little label on the drive, or like on the suspended ceiling, so you can find the thing again. Because if you just hide it up in there, when something goes wrong with it, you'll never find it again.
So in many cases already, that's the best practice. The cable companies will put a label on the whatever the ceiling, the nearest ceiling tile, to where they put the jack, and so that's where it will be. Now, if the existing stuff doesn't work for you, you should need to run more, but that should be easy compared to doing it on the wall.
Yep. Yeah, putting it in the ceiling is way easier than a wall mount, because you don't need a network jack stuck up halfway on the up a wall.
Mm-hmm. And nowadays,
doing the PoE is the better way to go for that.
Yeah, so
you don't have power up there.
Nowadays, you don't need to have them run power to a Wi-Fi. A lot of enterprise class access points support PoE or power over Ethernet. So really, that'll go back to the switch. Make sure you get a switch. And I've seen small 8-port switches solely dedicated to wireless access points. That's always a good investment if you're rolling out new wireless.
Yeah, but that is enterprise class wireless. Your little Linksys wireless antenna is not going to work like that.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of wireless, how do you identify coverage requirements? Is there a tool that you can use when you're kind of looking at a blueprint, you know, of a new office? How do you identify the heat map of where WAPs should go?
I don't have a good answer for that from a blueprint.
No, it's really this is where it's really important to visit the space ahead of time, and depending on how important wireless is to your office, you might want to get a wireless site survey. And that you can do it yourself if you have a laptop and an access point that you can plug in, and you just go around the office and just collect the data yourself, like how good is your wireless signal over here and over there. I think there's a good program such as CIDR, I think Insider, INSSIDER, or no ER, that will let you check the signal levels and keep track as you wander around the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, I don't know from a blueprint, but from within the office, like Will said, you can actually bring your Wi-Fi antenna and it doesn't have to be connected to the internet.
Yeah.
You can plug it in and then walk around the office. I use an Android app called Wi-Fi Analyzer. It's nothing special. And you can just walk around with it, walk into different offices and see how strong a signal you'll get.
I think some things we've run across so far is glass, wireless through glass, especially multiple panes of glass, can drop the signal a lot. So keep that in mind when you're making a build out. If you have lots of glass windows for like the conference room, you may have to put an access point on the opposite side of that to avoid the signal drop that may occur.
Okay, great. Let's see, we got another question. You had mentioned, and I think it was really good advice, you know, wanting, basically telling staff, we're taking the servers down. They're going to be unavailable starting, you know, Friday at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and you won't have access to them until Monday morning. And I think it's really good advice to set that expectation, even if you're expecting the servers to be back up Saturday morning, because you never know what's going to happen. I do think in most cases, you know, the request from staff is going to be, okay, what can I do? You know, I need to work on X, Y, or Z. How do I get access to that information? What are some workarounds that you've seen or that you've used to provide access to key staff with the information they need, you know, while the servers are down?
Right. So the simplest one is just tell them to save stuff to the desktop of their laptop and go work from home. But now we've got Dropbox and other options like that.
I would encourage the flash drive or the computer before I would recommend going to a third-party service, because sometimes someone puts something in there and that never comes out. And we want to make sure it gets put back into the system that gets backed up every day. So I would stick with the download it to a laptop, hand it to the key personnel. It's like, you can work from this laptop, and maybe in a pinch you can get one of those USB 3G, 4G dongles for them to use if internet might be a pinch. And in general, if you have ISP problems, it may not be too difficult to go and grab one of those during move day just to use while you're waiting for movers to move stuff in.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. We have had to do that somewhere where the ISP was a problem during a move and didn't show up. We had to go, I forget if we used the Cricket or whatever, but that mobile wireless antenna, or what do you call them?
Hotspots.
Yeah, and just had to put them around the office for a week until the ISP problems got resolved. Just to have some sort of internet at the office.
Is that the best solution? If you do have, you know, let's say you went ahead and you ordered, you know, fiber and you ordered Comcast, but Verizon goes on strike and so your fiber install date is delayed, and then, you know, Comcast loses your order and so that install date is delayed, and now you've got a move date with no internet. Is the mobile access point the best solution, your only solution? What are some plan Bs you can have sort of ready to go in that eventuality?
It's one of the best solutions I can think of, just if your ISP is going to be there within the week and you just need a temporary coverage.
Yeah. It also depends on how soon before move day that all the ISPs fail on you. Sometimes you can switch to a different ISP that has faster, that can get you in faster if you have enough time.
Right. If Comcast fails on you, Verizon might be able to hook you up the next day. Unlikely, but it's always, if you have time to figure it out.
Yeah. But if it's a week before, you can plan to have a month-to-month contract with your local cell company to just have a mobile hotspot. And I really haven't seen any others. Sometimes your building will have its own Wi-Fi that you can use, but I have not seen that a lot. But I've seen that in a couple of places.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, where you can pay to bite off the local Starbucks if they're close enough. If they're in the bottom of your building.
I mean, certainly, you know, some of the other suggestions that you made earlier, both planning for having redundant internet connections not only helps, you know, after you've moved in, but it helps with the move itself. Planning the install date several weeks in advance of your move, if that's possible, gives you some, you know, some flexibility there. And then if all else fails, you can go with the mobile hotspot, and potentially also just treat it like a snowstorm, and you've kind of got staff on telework, you know.
Right.
So, great. Well, William, Rick, thank you both very much for sharing your time and your expertise with us this afternoon, and wish you all the best with whatever moves you've got coming up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for joining this Community IT Podcast Part 2. You can find Part 1 in your podcast feed if you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Community IT does these free webinars and podcasts for our community, and we love sharing our knowledge and experience. If you have more questions or are having trouble with your IT at your nonprofit, please get in touch with us on our website, www.communityit.com, so we can start a conversation or schedule an assessment. Downloading any of our free resources there will get you signed up for our webinar reminders, and you can attend our next webinar in real time and ask our experts your own questions. If you love podcasts, please subscribe and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits.